As the musicians take their seats again, let me lead us in a prayer. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They're more precious than gold, than much pure gold, and sweeter than honey, honey from the comb. Gracious Father, as we now come to look at your word, we pray it would be a light to our path. Work in our hearts by your Spirit, that same Spirit who inspired these words, and speak to us, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Can you remember or imagine that first trip up to university where you take your kids? The car's full of stuff. There's the emotion of leaving your son or daughter, perhaps for the first time, to live away from home. Some of you have had that experience. Others can only imagine it or have seen it in films. But you can see, can't you, the emotions run high. There's pride, a real sense of achievement. The kids are no longer kids. They're looking after themselves, cooking, shopping, cleaning, studying, hopefully. There's a sadness. They won't be at home anymore. You'll probably miss them, even if they are messy. And it's an emotional, but ultimately it's a fantastic time, a milestone. In Daniel chapter 1, Daniel and his friends leave home and head off to Babylonian University. Except, sadly, the scene here couldn't be more different to what we just imagined, could it? Daniel's one of the smartest Jewish boys. He's a quick learner. He's sharp. He's good with people. He's even good looking, verse 4. And that is why he's been chosen for university. Chosen by a foreign invading power. You see, Daniel has been torn away from his family. Taken by force after some kind of battle, a siege. Presumably some people would have been killed. Israel is a tiny nation and Babylon is huge. Daniel's taken away from his own country to a pagan capital city. Far away from his parents, they worship other gods. They act immorally. There's all sorts. And actually, it's a brilliant plan by the Babylonians. The British used to do it when we colonized places. Don't just stay in a place and rule over it, but give the brightest and best from that land your education, your ways, and then send them back to rule for you. When we study any part of the Bible, it is important to know the context, and particularly in the Old Testament. So here's a picture, a timeline from the Old Testament. If you didn't know, God's people split in two soon after King David and Solomon. There's the northern people called Israel, and the smaller and more faithful to God southern people called Judah. Both north and south ultimately were conquered by other nations. The north, 722 years before Jesus, conquered by the Assyrians. You can see that on the picture here. I hope it's kind of making some sense to you. Next, there it is. The south also was conquered by the Babylonians, and in two stages. 597 years before Jesus, and then again in the second stage, 586 years before Jesus. And that's on the picture here. And the book of Daniel that we're looking at over the next 6 weeks spans this time here. And our chapter comes as part of the build-up to that first great conquest, or terrible conquest. Why is that important? Why do I think you need to have that picture? Well, because the book of Daniel is all about what it's like to live faithfully to God when you're away from your spiritual home. They were in exile, living amongst a pagan and foreign people. And the question is, does the Lord reign here? And it's answered with a resounding yes. Yes, he does. And actually, Daniel, along with the book of 1 Peter in the New Testament, is one of the two books in the Bible whose focus is all about how we should live away from home, our spiritual home, for the Lord, trusting him and living for him. So here's my question. Do you feel like the Lord reigns here in Stevenage? Are we living in the city of our God, where everyone looks to honour him and his ways, where we're surrounded by spiritual family, where we can say the Stevenage way, or even the British way, is the Lord's way? Well, the answer is no, we're not. I hope that you feel that. The Bible teaches us that the only place that we can say that is heaven. And until we get there, it's like we're in a foreign land, in exile, waiting to return to our God. To use picture language, we're in Babylon. We're in exile. And the book of 1 Peter uses that language as well. Listen to these verses. Peter writes, "Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul, and live such good lives amongst the pagans that although they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us." So let me explain. What you can expect from the book of Daniel is that you can expect to learn about your God, the God of Daniel, and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who reigns everywhere, all over the world, at all times, even if we feel far away from him. And we can expect to learn about how we should live, how to conduct ourselves in this world, even when the world around us does not live for him or know him. And the first chapter of Daniel, which we heard read, gives us three lessons for how we live. The first two are in a pair. Don't withdraw from the world. But second, don't compromise. And then lastly, don't fear, for the Lord reigns. So first of all, don't withdraw from the world. If you've ever heard a talk on this chapter before, Daniel chapter 1, it probably zoomed straight in at verse 8, an important verse. Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. And rightly so, it's an important verse. But we make a mistake if we look at where Daniel says no, if we don't first see where he says yes, time and time again. In verse 3 to 7, Daniel and his friends say yes to all sorts of things. They say yes to a pagan education. Babylon was a huge and impressive capital city. The king, Nebuchadnezzar, was the guy who built the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, that ancient wonder of the world. And the Babylonian people were highly sophisticated in literature, astronomy, maths, and science. This university education that Daniel was going to get was impressive, and especially to a clever young boy like Daniel. But be under no illusions, the city was also full of worship of other gods, many gods, magicians and astrologers, magical arts and sorcery. This worldview that underpinned all the education they would have received was against God. And actually the plan of the Babylonian people was that this education would strip away their faith and their culture, their devotion to God, to win them over to Babylonian ways. But they say yes to a pagan education. On top of that, Daniel and his friends say yes to a political career. They were to be trained for 3 years, verse 5, and after that to enter into the king's service. You see, it wasn't just the education. They were actually to become officials within this pagan nation. The very nation that stole them away from their parents, destroyed countless buildings and families from God's people. And they're to work for them, and high up at that. It seems like betrayal. It seems like betrayal of God's people. Surely they've compromised. But they accept it. They also accept a change of name. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah have their names changed to Belteshazzar, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And you would have heard these very learned people pronouncing the names in such a way as to emphasize their meanings. So the names were all about God. El on the end of a name, like Daniel and Mishael, the El means God. And Yah on the end of a name, like Hananiah and Azariah, comes from Yahweh. It's the name of God. These names spoke about the grace of God, his power, how he helps his people. And the new names that they got, well, they were all about Bel, Aku, and Necho, the gods of the Babylonians. They were names that praised them. Surely, having God written out of their very names, surely that's something to resist and to fight against. But they say yes, and they allow it. And we need to remember, even when in a pagan society, do not withdraw. They don't kick up a stink, they don't argue and fight. They get on. They become involved. They become a part of that land. think it's very easy in our minds to start becoming critical, to criticise the society around us as they pass laws which go against God's laws, as Christian prayers are banned in schools and other places. All kinds of things are going on in our society which dishonour God, don't reflect his ways. As our nation becomes less and less Christian, how do you feel? How do you respond? Do you criticise? Feel separate? Retreat back amongst only Christians, either in your mind or in practice? You can ask, who are our friends? Who do you talk to? Are you ever in institutions or situations where it's an effort to be there out in the world, where you feel out of place? Well, Daniel and his friends don't withdraw. Actually, Daniel knows what the prophet Jeremiah wrote about this exact time. Jeremiah 29 says, "This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those who I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Have children and seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I've carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper." They don't withdraw. But secondly, they don't compromise either. They said yes to this and that, but they said no. They drew a line. Verse 8, Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself in this way. Notice how polite he is, actually. Daniel speaks fairly and gently with the chief official. He doesn't make a scene, he doesn't argue, but he does say no. Now, there are a couple of theories why Daniel and his friends draw the line here, whilst they say no. Is it because the food wasn't kosher? They'd have been violating Jewish food laws. Well, in that case, they would have been able to drink the wine. But they say no to the wine, so it can't be that. Was it because the food had been blessed in the temple of a pagan god and offered to them? Well, if that was the case, the vegetables would have been defiled too. And they ate those, so it can't be that. We can't know for sure why they draw the line here, but I'm persuaded, as a best guess, that the reason is because of the relationship it implied with the king. Like a close and binding relationship between them and the king. You see, later on in the book of Daniel, in chapter 11, the people who are closest to the king, his stooges, if you like, are described as those who eat the king's provisions. It's about relationship. The ones who eat from the king's table are his closest friends and allies. And it's like Daniel and his friends are saying, "Look, O king, I'll take your education, your new name, I'll even work in your palace as a top official. But you can't have me. I won't be bound to you, because I'm in covenant relationship to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What you want, O King, you can't have, because I belong to him, and that will never change." They draw the line, and they remain faithful. Now, it's important that the way they draw the line affects them. It cuts backwards, inwards, upon themselves. It's them who miss out. The food from the king's table, okay, would have been amazing. They're missing out on Michelin star beef, on £100 a bottle red wine. They're the ones who miss out. In no way is the extra work or the difficulty laid upon others. Notice how in verse 10, the guard is afraid that they're going to start getting thin and unhealthy. But Daniel doesn't stamp his feet. He offers a test to show the guard that it will be okay. And he prays. The lesson is clear. We mustn't compromise. We must draw the line. We are not simply a part of the culture which we live in. When in Stevenage, do what Stevenage people do. No, it's not that. There's a line. We must draw the line. But take note that where they draw the line impacts on them and isn't difficult for everyone else. Now, sometimes where you need to draw the line is very obvious. If you're asked to tell a lie at work, or the press release or the document just isn't true, well, then the Lord is clear. The line comes before that. At times we might get those things wrong, and we can come back to the Lord Jesus for forgiveness and a fresh start. But sometimes where we draw the line isn't clear. Think of one of the gods of Stevenage, one of the gods of this age, materialism. If our Christian brothers and sisters came over to visit us from Africa, they would be shocked at how much money we spend on houses, beds, sofas, cars, TVs, and so on. They would be amazed. They'd wonder, have we compromised? Are we worshipping the God of material comfort, the God of Stevenage of this age? And we need to hear that challenge. Are we just people of this world who just go along with everything and don't draw the line? But how much is it right and godly for a Christian to spend on a car? How much should we spend on our food or on a night out? Think about it. You need to draw a line. Now, we can't tell each other where you should draw a line or where I should draw a line. It's different for different people. For some people, a Christian going into a pub is extraordinary. How could they honour God and do that? And yet for others, it's okay. Some draw the line before watching an 18-rated film. Others would not watch a film with any kind of swearing in. Sometimes the Lord draws the line for us. Do not lie. But sometimes we've got to be wise. We need to decide, where should I draw the line? And you've got to decide. But draw the line somewhere. Don't just keep saying yes, 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 going with the culture and finding that you never stand up for principles or never draw the line. Are you willing to deny yourself? You see, Daniel and his friends turn down amazing food and wine because they're more interested in honouring the Lord. Ultimately, they live for him and they don't compromise. Those are the first two lessons. Don't withdraw and don't compromise. But lastly, a really positive encouragement for us, a truth about our God. That is, don't fear, because our God reigns. If we think about it, it's kind of hard to overstate the disaster that fell upon the Jewish people. After the siege from a far stronger and far superior nation, an army, their family lives were torn apart. Their religious life was shattered. In verse 2, articles from the temple are taken away. No doubt all the gold and silver, to the temple of the Babylonian gods. There is no doubt there would have been tears and desperation. People would have been asking, why, Lord? Why didn't you stop this? Why didn't you prevent it? What's going on? And sometimes we might ask that question when things seem to be going wrong. We wonder, what is God doing? Does he rule? And the clear message of this chapter and of the whole book of Daniel is that God is in control. Things might be bad, but he still reigns, and his people do not need to be afraid. Later on in the book, we see God's power and rule over huge affairs, international affairs, and whole nations. And there's something of that in verse 2. It says, "The Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into Nebuchadnezzar's hand." It was the Lord's doing. But most of this chapter focuses on individuals, like in verse 9. Daniel's courageous, he draws the line, and what happens? Verse 9, God caused the official to show favour and sympathy with Daniel. You see, God's at work. Verse 15, at the end of the 10 days, Daniel and his friends look healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who eat the royal food. And we're supposed to understand, I'm sorry, vegetarians, this is not vegetarian propaganda, we're supposed to understand that a miracle has taken place. God has sustained them. And the Lord's control is underlined in verse 17. To these four young men, God gave understanding of all kinds of literature and learning. God gave it. And Daniel all his can understand visions of dreams. And all of his friends and he finished top of the class. They end up as top officials, ruling and making all kinds of policies and decisions in Babylon. The Lord reigns. He's watching over his people. It was God's doing. And so we're to understand when we feel like things are out of control, God is protecting and guiding them and us and all his people all the way through, even when it looks bad. You can imagine people coming alongside Daniel in the royal court saying, "Why risk your life over a bit of food. You've got a good position here in the royal court. Your prospects are excellent. Don't risk it. Just play along. It's only small. Those people are afraid of the king, afraid of what he could do to them. And what Daniel does doesn't make any sense to them. But that's because Daniel doesn't fear the king. Daniel fears the Lord. You could end up in a great job with real influence. You could do good, they say. But Daniel says no. He draws the line. He fears the Lord and him alone. And that's the beginning of wisdom. So Daniel drew the line on something small. Later, when he's tested in something big, he's able to be faithful, even in the face of the lion's den. Daniel is faithful because he fears the Lord. He doesn't fear those around him. Do not fear. You see, you face the same threat. The world thinks of you. Well, it's all very well going to church on a Sunday, and that's fine. But please, leave your religion and your Christ out of the rest of life. You'll get along so much better if you just fit in. Leave him out of your relationships, out of the workplace, and for goodness sake, please, don't talk about him. You'll just seem weird. You'll get on so much better if you stay quiet. After all, look around. It's not like he really rules here, is it? But he does. And we would be wise to fear him and not to fear those around us. Don't be afraid. Our world should hold no fear for us. We are in the hands of our Lord. So as we read terrible news of what happens in France, don't be afraid of threats of violence against even a priest in church. Don't be afraid. Our God reigns. If there's the threat of financial instability after Brexit, the politicians and the banks may not have seen it coming. Be wise. But don't be afraid. The Lord knew and was in complete control. If you face the uncertainty of bad health, with scan results due back soon about cancer or something else, don't be afraid. The Lord reigns. There may be times where our lives seem to be falling apart. And this is not to say that the evil of people, the mistakes or bad choices that we make aren't involved. They are. But the Lord reigns over all, even in the hardest times, even in Babylon, even in Stevenage. Do not be afraid. Don't withdraw, don't compromise, and don't be afraid. Let's bow our heads and pray. Gracious God, you reign here in Stevenage and across the land and across the whole world. Help us to live well amongst the people you've placed us with, but never to compromise. Instead, to represent you well and trust you always, not being afraid. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.